podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Can you imagine between Man City, Arsenal and Liverpool, if some of them got points off, then they got given back and the table from the top first to third kept moving around like a f***ing yo-yo. Can you imagine that happened? It wouldn't. People wouldn't be having it. Because it's Everton, Forest and Luton and all that down there, they couldn't give a shit. They're like, yeah, whatever, we'll fluctuate it whatever way we want. It's the fact that if you look at it like that, that would never happen. They would never do that in the middle of the season to a title race. Well, it's a relegation battle and it's f***ing important to us. So don't do it to us as well. That's my problem. And I'll tell you one thing, you and your Luton love it. If they don't stay up after all this, they're shite. Okay? If they don't stay up after all this, even if we don't get a deduction with it messing with our head, messing with everything, if they don't stay up after all this, then they are awful. I'm sorry, but they are. We've got Paul. Scott's tricky, who travelled all the way from Scotland to the Villa game and looked like he was going to have an absolute disaster in that first half. But luckily, there was a bit of fight in the team. And in the end, I think he enjoyed it and thought that we could have taken something away from that. So to Paul from Scotland, you're half Scottish, aren't you, Matt? That must be, I mean, he's Irish, actually, this guy. But you know what I mean? That must be a little bit of a Celtic thing for you. No?
Yeah, it's great. I've got a Scottish family, yeah.
Chris, Dubai Trickies, I always mention, but he sent a lovely video. He had this big, massive Dubai Trickies flag over a table, having beers while watching the game with some fellow Dubai Trickies fans. It was really, really cool. Sent that through to me. Brilliant. Massive shout out to him. We will get you on the show soon, Chris. Actually, I think I want to get you on for Forest All Over the World very, very soon. NFFC Avon, Bristol and Bath, who are causing a massive stir. Jan messaged me from them. He's the one that set them up. He said one of the gang is a designer and has mocked up a flag design. And there's a beautiful flag he sent over to me. NFFC Avon, Bristol and Bath supporters group, and he says to be seen at a home match sometime soon, and hopefully it is. That is fantastic. Keep the Forest All Over the World stuff going, everyone, and we want Forest All Over the World fans on. We do have a guest on later from Fan Park UK, but we want more Forest All Over the World fans on, and let's get into it. Matt, how are you?
I'm really good, thank you. I'm really good, and I'm looking forward to going to see Man United on Wednesday. I'm annoyed about the whole love-in with Liverpool and Jurgen Klopp. Never, ever, ever have I had an inkling of liking for Chelsea in my life. And all of a sudden, I sort of felt a bit like a Chelsea fan for about 12 hours. But looking more forward to getting back to Forest this week with our massive task at hand. And I assume we're going to talk a little bit today about the Everton getting their points back.
Yeah. So we'll chat a bit about Everton getting some of their points back. We'll chat about the FA Cup on Wednesday. We'll do a preview for the Liverpool game separately to that afterwards. And also, we've got a guest coming on. Satch from Fan Park UK is coming on today. And I know that you're not very prepared for this because I organised it, as I always do. But Satch is going to come on and talk about the Forest's fan zone. It's like a fan zone, and they call it Fan Park UK, where they've lots of food trucks and different events and stuff that happens. And you can ask the questions yourself if you want, Matt. So, guest coming on.
So, are you prepared for Satch from Fan Park UK, Chris? Because your to quote you before we started this was, we don't do research. That's what we do. We have people come on.
No.
And then we ask them when they're here.
No, so. I did not say that. I just said that I haven't fully done my research on this. I've seen a lot of their stuff online.
Done your research.
No, but, well, do you know what? I know why you're having a dig at me, by the way, because at the top of this program, before we pressed record, you told me that Bowen had scored twice and that he's in my fantasy football team and that you're the only one that doesn't have him in your league. That's not my problem, Matt. That's not my problem. It's also not my problem that you don't like Jurgen Klopp or Liverpool because they played the kids and still won the League Cup, and I thought it was actually
kids,
a pretty big achievement.
The kids, £300 million worth of talent starting yesterday. Van Dijk scored and Kelleher kept Chelsea at bay. That is the difference. It wasn't the kids. Some Alan Hansen, Man United revival story that everyone's trying to pump in the media. It's
what?
Nonsense, mate.
It's not, but hang on a second, Matt. The difference
they're not
that you
kids.
Seem...
They're professional footballers that Liverpool have imported and paid for to come to their club.
That's where you're wrong. You're dead wrong. The problem with you is, Matt, you don't ever seem to quite have the facts. That's the issue you have. Okay, if you want to look at some of the facts, I can get them up here, because I was talking to a Liverpool fan earlier, just to really get up. You're right, the average age was pretty low on Chelsea's team as well. You're correct about that. The difference is, Palmer is young, but he was also 40 million. Clark, zero. All right. You've got 70 million plus 80 million plus 40 million plus an academy player coming off the bench for Chelsea. You've got versus
coming
3 million
bench,
an academy player.
Andy Robertson, Luis Diaz, mate.
Yeah, but Matt, they're missing seven
Virgil
or eight of
Dijk.
Their starting players. Szoboszlai, Salah, Nunes, Gravenberch gets injured. He's not even one of their starting midfielders.
All you're doing at the minute is listing players that are what make Liverpool a far more superior club than someone like Forrest.
Yeah, but
listing Mo Salah, they've got the depth to be able to cope.
Yes, I agree with the depth to be able to cope, but
don't go listing the players that couldn't be on because they were injured.
No, but hang on a second. Sorry, I don't want to make this a Liverpool versus Chelsea League Cup podcast, so I'll say this really quickly and precisely, and we'll move on. We have a guest coming on in a minute, all right? And we'll talk a little bit about the Villa game, and we will talk about the FA Cup. Give me a break. Guest coming on, FA Cup coming up. Shut up about Liverpool, all right? They had four academy players who came on. One of them only had 34 minutes played and he came on. They did well considering all the injuries. Yes, Forest were blighted by injuries last year and no one talked about it. This year, Liverpool have it for the League Cup and it's, oh, poor me. I get that. But still, it's impressive. Chelsea should have put them to bed. That's it. We march on.
What,
anyway,
against Andy Robertson, Virgil van Dijk, Gomez, Luis Diaz, Gakpo, the Dutch forward? Like, what are you on about?
No, what my point is, Chelsea have spent a billion.
Jurgen Klopp gurning away in the on this.
Sorry,
gurning away, grinding his teeth.
Shut up for a second about Jurgen Klopp. What? I want to beat Jurgen Klopp in Liverpool on Saturday. We have an opportunity to beat them because they have so many injuries. We do have an opportunity to beat them on Saturday. So let's and we'll talk about that after the FA Cup game. Let's get to the FA Cup game. Let's talk a little bit about Villa and let's move on. Like, please, man. Let's.
Yes,
Jesus.
But every time you say that, you then go on a little monologue about.
Because
about
you're
just
why
not, Liverpool are such saviours.
But it's not, you're missing the point of the argument. It's not Liverpool being unbelievable. It's Liverpool shouldn't have won that game against a £1 billion team that wasted their money on young players, granted.
Oh my God, that £1 billion team lost to Nottingham Forest, mate.
Yeah.
It's more impressive that we beat them than that Liverpool beat them in the FA Cup and the League
Cup
final.
I can't get on board with this. We're wasting time. Let's talk about the Everton points deduction news that we just heard. They've just had 4 points put back, which means that they only now have a -6 and are, I think, a point above us in the table. What are your thoughts on that? Quickly. Immediate thoughts.
They're muddled because I can't get the... I don't know. I'm hearing one thing and then I'm hearing another. It all depends on The thing they've just been given recouped some points on is irrelevant. It's about what we're getting done for and Everton getting done for on this next round of punishments. And I don't know who has got the worst crime committed. And I don't know if they're worse or less worse than last year's Everton one. You get my point?
Yeah, of course I get your point. I mean, I think that there's... Problem is, there's millions of ways to analyse all of this shit.
There really are. There are three ways. There are three outcomes. I've just listed them.
But it's not about the outcomes, it's the ways. You could assume that we are going to get less as a result of their punishment. No one actually knows how much we've gone over or how much more we've gone over.
Well, exactly,
over
precisely.
We
but if you do know, if it's a lesser or more a crime, you're going to get less or more of a punishment. They've set a precedent now with docking them... -6 points for whatever their crime was. So that is now the barometer for Everton's new set of rule-breaking punishment and Forest.
Yeah, I understand that. But what do you think would happen to Forest now? That's the question. What do you think is going to happen to Forest as a result
of this?
Well, I
need to know. Do we think that our breaking of the PSR rules is greater than or more severe than Everton's last year?
I don't know. But you know what I do think?
Well, then we can't answer it.
But you know what I do think? I think that no matter how we cut this a million times over and dice it and dissect it, it's a bloody mess. And I know you know that.
You
I know
don't
that.
Need
you
to
shut up for
a million
second.
Times over, Chris.
No, but the point I'm making is. We've now gone through a season where someone's been docked points in the middle of the season. They've now had some put back. Someone else is about to get docked points. And it's all happening at the bottom of the table. And you know what? You and I don't know what's going to happen. We have no idea. Because we didn't know it was going to be 4, 6, 12. We don't know if there's another 6 going to come off. Next thing you know, we're in maths class. We're not rocket scientists. We're just football fans. Just let's get on with it. Now, let's talk about the Villa game. Or do you have anything else to say about it?
Well, I've said what I have to say. There's too much unknowns, but I don't think there's millions of options. I think it just depends on so many tedious semantics. So yeah, let's move on. You made a very good speech there, and I can't be.
I'm just bored of it, you know. And we're in the middle of a season. It's just it's actually fucking killing the sport. It's killing us. It's killing
not as much
us.
As VAR is.
We're not going to get into a VAR topic conversation.
No, but yeah, there are a lot of things. From an academic level and an intellectual level that are killing the sport. Agreed. Now, okay. Villa.
I mean, we might as well play the blame game with this to start off. Or do you want to dissect it? Do you want to talk about the lineup? Is there anything you want to say early on?
I'm going to start with Omar Bamadeli. I really feel sorry for him because, you know what, I'm going to undo the Omar Bamadeli. I'm going to double over and give it a Dominguez. I'm playing Dominguez for that last goal because he put him in such a tricky situation. In fact, I'm going to say Danilo and Dominguez are my winners for the blame game this week because the pair of them, I feel, were the reason through most of their mistakes. More than Niakate, more than Nuno for playing Niakate. I'm going Danilo and Dominguez.
I'm going to go with Nuno and Murillo, two people we've been praising in recent weeks. Nuno for playing Niakate left back and... I mean, fair play to me, I identified the issues, you know, at the end of the first half, but I'm going to blame him for putting him in left back because he was overrun, he was outpassed, outfought, he was caught out a million times, he wasn't a match for Bailey. Niakate is a good defender, and I know he's played left back before, it just didn't work out. We all looked at that lineup at the beginning and went, what is that red herring there? And we knew it could be either a problem or genius, and it was a problem. You have to put that on the manager. The next one is Murillo. Didn't have his best game. I think he got caught out for that first or second goal. I think it was the first goal he got done, and then his head went, got a yellow card early on enough, was on one for the whole game. And then my final bit of blame does go on, I hate saying it goes on Omar Bamadeli because a lot of people said, well, it was a bad pass on Dominguez initially, what do you do? No. You cleared the ball there. You're an Irish legend, I love you to bits, but you've got to get rid of the ball. Dominguez, of course, made that mistake pass, but Omar Bamadeli, for me, just in that moment, we're 3-2, just clear the ball, just get rid of it, just boot it up, just old school. You have to know to do that. But I know you've been trained to play in a certain way.
Well, I do appreciate we can pin things on crucial moments in the blame game. I have to say there are also factors in this case, in this match against Aston Villa, where Omar Bamadeli, the reason I withdrew that was because he was only responsible for that moment after a really... There was some catastrophic Forest stuff. I would definitely have Felipe, Ryan Yates as contenders as well, I'm afraid. So you know what? Niakate is clean. He is not in the blame game because he got the goal back. And without that, who knows?
No, I don't think he gets away scot-free. I mean, he was really badly caught over the second goal. I think Cash got in behind him, wasn't it?
I'm not convinced that Toffolo or... anyone else, Tavares or even Aina might not have been caught out by Bailey. Maybe not twice, but definitely once. Bailey was brilliant. So, Niakate's got a free pass from me on that, I'm afraid.
Fair enough. Anyway, out of the blame game, I just want to really quickly just summarise stuff about the Villa game that everyone's already spoke about.
Who won it? Who's getting the wooden spoon?
Okay, well, the wooden spoon goes to...
What do you think of Yates spooning that chance?
Yeah, but that's not... He came off the bench. Who are you giving the wooden spoon to?
No. I was going to say Danilo Dominguez. It's gone to Dominguez.
For you, okay. For me, genuinely, I think Nuno came out a little naive. And I haven't really blamed the manager that much, but I'm going to say it. I think that he came out naive and we got absolutely battered for the first 40 minutes. And the game was pretty much gone away from us. But this is the caveat to the giving him the wooden spoon. The reaction that he had.
So it's not a caveat. You either give him the wooden spoon or you don't.
Well, I don't then. There's no wooden spoon. There was a few people to blame, and we'll give a collective blame game to the team for the first 40 minutes. There you go. Out we go. We're out of the blame game.
Such a get out.
Just
such
shut up about the get out. No, but it's... You're stop calling me fence sitter. I'm going to have to start selling mugs with fence sitter on them. Just stop.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, I'm moving on.
Forest
swiftly.
All over the fence.
Oh, shut up.
Hosted by Chris.
Yeah. Well, I'm not gonna get in the arguments I've had with you on WhatsApp today because you know nothing about football at times. Anyway, I will say this.
It's time to bring in Satch, mate.
Here's Satch from Fan Park UK. Satch, how are you doing? You all right?
Nice to meet you, Satch.
You too, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, awesome. Thanks, mate.
Mate, there's some wicked artwork going on here. It looks like you're in two different rooms.
Really?
Yeah, like you've got some like
Even.
CGI stuff going on. Yeah.
No, I don't. I've
I
no
think it's just.
idea. I know,
I think
never normally
it's.
turn my camera
Or it
on.
might be my internet, I guess. So you're like your second
Yeah.
button.
No, I think it's just Matt's blur he's got in the background kind of thing.
Oh, I might have blurred the background, so it's just made my.
Yeah. Satch, welcome. Fan Park UK. You set it up with, is it Kieran or is there a couple other people involved? Do you want to give us a
Yeah.
quick, real quick rundown about what it's all about? And thanks for joining us, by the way.
No, thank you for having us. Well, having me. So we Fan Park's been in the making for about 3 years now. We wanted to have something that was like super immersive with like street food, great drinks offers, and having some really good entertainment for the fans. Find that all the fan zones in Nottingham are really good, and nationally they're all okay. We just feel like there's a bit more production that could go into them. So Kieran's come from a background of TV and film. And I love street food. I've had street food restaurants before, and I think fans are being hard done by with food and drink at stadiums. I mean, they're paying 7 quid for a pint of Carling, or they've got a burger van that hasn't seen hasn't seen a barbecue before, kind of thing. So
Yeah,
we
so
just
hang
need.
on. You're from a restaurant background. Sorry to cut you off there. I did not. So Kieran's obviously he's one half of it. He's a bit of a presenter. He does loads of acting and or he has done in the
He's just
past.
very, very loud. Yeah.
He's out. I've met him a couple of times at games. He's a character, right? But
Yeah.
your background is food, completely, or you said food trucks and restaurants and stuff like that. And you wanted to build some. It's the thing that you built, by the way. We haven't really told the listeners. I'm sure they've seen it everywhere. Is it's a fan park or a zone. For Forest fan community before and after a game kind of thing. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And then for every televised game too.
Oh.
So we're like 15 minutes away down from the ground, and the space is brilliant. It's at a bar called Binks Yard that launched a couple of years ago. It's by the canal. We've got the biggest screen in the Midlands, and then we wanted to utilize that because a lot of fans didn't know about the space, and previously fans had sort of said it was a bit expensive. So we've gone in there. We've lowered the prices so that it's really affordable. So people can pick up a pint for 3.50 during happy. Yeah, and it's really good pint as well.
Wow.
We've collaborated with brands like Red Bull and Asahi for events coming up this year. We've and Asahi sponsored Man City and Brentford too, so it's a really good football collaboration. We're introducing a play
Decent beer
zone.
as well. Sorry, it's actually quite nice as lagers go, but anyway, yeah.
I'll let you into a secret. I'm not a lager fan, so
Oh, right. So, but
I'll take
you're,
your
but
word
you.
for it.
Yeah, well, hopefully you don't lose the sponsor saying that, but I'm sure there won't be many people. They won't be listening to this podcast anyway.
Well,
So,
I was just about to say I love every lager. Sorry, I hate every lager except for Asahi. Sorry.
oh, okay. Well, then, yeah. Well, we'll keep that in.
Yeah.
Grant. So, yeah, no, Matt, obviously didn't we didn't know. Like, he didn't know much about what was the Fan Park UK or whatever. He's going to the game on Wednesday, FA Cup game, Man United. That's, I'm sure, where it's your bread and butter. You got two big games coming up at home, Man U, Liverpool.
Yeah.
Like, what if Matt was to walk in there on
Yeah.
Wednesday? What would he expect?
So we're pretty immersive. So as you walk in, there's a big entrance way with Fan Park. Welcome to Fan Park, and you'll be greeted at the door with a couple of bouncers, but they're hosts effectively. So we wanted everyone
Oh.
to be super friendly as you walk through. So as you walk through, there's street food vendors all along the right-hand side. We've got four different street food vendors. We've got a fanzine over there. So like lots of it feels like an extension of the city ground effectively. And then we've got four independent bars, so people can get super quick service. So you don't have to wait for more than a minute at the bar. It's really, really quick.
Class.
And then we've got seating all the way around, and we've just got a massive screen with TV production sort of level of quality shows. So we've got a section called Bad Tactics, which we bring up. We'll bring up a couple of Forest fans, a couple of United fans. We'll have a little section. They'll have a
Oof.
bit where they we've got a section called Combined 11, where they'll pick the 11 players plus a manager from, and they have to combine it equally. So
And they have
six
loads
one.
I imagine there's loads of arguments there as well. I mean, like I was thinking if I was at the last United Forest United game and I wish I'd done a bad tactic show versus Man United fans. God, I hate Man United, right?
Yeah.
We should get Matt up on Wednesday. He, look, he, Matt's smiling. He's not really asking any questions. Probably because he doesn't like my
No, because
questions.
I'm desperate for you to let Satch finish a blooming point.
Yeah. No, he's doing really well. I talk way too much.
No, no, thank you're you, doing Satch. Great, thanks, Satch. No, you're doing great. Like I was, and Chris, I'm just gonna. I've got loads of questions, but I'm just letting him finish. So hang on, you were just saying, you're just explaining what that was, where you get two sets of fans up on. Is it on stage or just?
Yeah, so we've got a wicked stage. Like the screen is honestly it's ridiculously sized, and the quality is amazing. And we've got a set, so it's a similar sort of set to like League of Their Own, with like people sat on the stage. Either side of the presenter, who's Kieran, and they'll debate over the starting 11, but we've already got like their chosen 11, so some of them are ridiculous. Like one of the, you know, even though we've got 78 left backs out of the club, somebody put Nick Williams at left back the other day, and then we've got a guy called Max Hayes who presents like another podcast.
Yes, Match Day with Max.
Yeah, Match Day with Max. He's grown up now, he's not 12 anymore.
Yeah, I remember when he was 12, yeah.
And he does a section called Fan Cam. So we go into the audience, into the fans, and like allow them to talk on stage, and their picture goes up onto the big screen.
It sounds absolutely brilliant, Satch. I can't believe I haven't heard this before. Just to clarify, did you say, so you guys do this, it's called Fan Park UK. Do you do it all around the country or just for Forest?
So initially we've just launched it for Forest. So this is, as I was saying, like we've been planning this for a while, but we're both Forest fans, so it'd be silly not to start it with Forest. Next season we are looking to grow it into other cities, into four other clubs. But again, we want fan bases that are genuinely passionate about the clubs. So we look at very specific clubs that we were looking to work with, but. Like, you know, we're quite fortunate in Nottingham. Like, Notts fans are very passionate too. So we'll be launching for those guys in August too. And again, we'll be having presenters, and we'll be targeting and focusing it on their fan base. So it'd be very little point in having Kieran as a presenter for Notts County Fan Park. But
Got you. No, I think
we'll try and make it.
Sounds so good. I'm definitely going to come down on Wednesday. Yeah, please, whereabouts? Is it the same place every time?
Yeah, it's at Fan. Sorry, it's at Binks Yard. I call it at Fan Park now, like a completely different venue. So it's just over the London Road. So it's as you're approaching the City Ground, just after the BBC Island, just on the left hand side. So it's about a 15-minute walk away from the City Ground.
Oh, wicked!
Deadly.
It sounds absolutely awesome. I can't believe I've missed that. I look forward to coming to see it. But I almost commend you. I think you guys are onto something as well, because it's clearly going to be very popular, going to continue to grow for Forest. But as you said, it's called Fan Park UK, presumably for a reason, because you can take that brand anywhere in all four divisions, maybe even non-league football. It's going to FA Cup ties early round, I could imagine being amazing. Imagine having like Maidstone United versus Man United one year, or Newport County versus City. It's going to be a cool event pre-match.
That's what we wanted, actually. The word that you've just used is an event. It feels like we wanted almost like a mini festival feel. So you're so excited to go to the game early doors. Like we had somebody that came down from Manchester last week, and he was saying that his kid was so excited to come. Oh. And then he sent us a message afterwards. He was like, it was the first time his kid didn't moan at the fact that they had to get to the ground so early.
Oh, that's class. Kind of
what we want something that is completely universal. It doesn't matter if you're a 60-year-old or you're a 10-year-old. We want it to be totally inclusive, but we've got lots of things going on. So we're still very Forest-centric in terms of the fans are really loud and it's fun and it's vibrant. So it's not mediocre. Now, I guess that's one of the things that we've been able to do ahead of, if we were at the Forest Ground, if we were to do this actually at the Forest Ground, we'd have to be quite PC with some of the stuff we do. And I guess we've been able to branch out a little bit by able to break those boundaries down a bit more.
Obviously, you have Nottingham Forest Football Club. I don't know if they have their own fans on. Maybe they do. I usually just go straight to the ground. And then you've other big pubs and bars and stuff that do similar stuff. With clubs, if you're growing this as a Fan Park UK thing and different clubs, do you worry about a little bit of conflict between you and a club? Like, where could you base it? And do you know what I mean? Or would clubs be annoyed by
fans on each match day, Chris?
I know. I'm just wondering, is it tricky? Because, like, you know, these things get competitive. Do you know what I mean?
No, they do get competitive. We've worked that out already.
Okay, you've had a little bit of a ding dong already with competitors. I mean, you don't need to say anything. I was just curious. Yeah, go on.
But for us, it's not really competition. There's enough fans for everyone, right?
True.
And
yeah.
And the other thing that we want to be super inclusive, and I guess what we think we can offer is something different. So we're not just a place where we're really putting thought into it. Like I've this week alone, I've probably spent 20, 30 hours just sorting out the street food vendors, that we're going into really, really detailed sort of stuff to make sure that our food vendors are really high quality. And that's really important to me. The entertainment, you should see the schedule of events that we have for every game. It's like so detailed. We have a sound engineer, we have a lighting engineer, we've got webcams everywhere. That there's a lot of thought and effort into how we do how we produce each game, and we're seeing it like a TV show. As for your actual question, rather than me just ranting, we don't see this competition. We're actually looking to partner up with clubs. So rather than trying to do our own thing in every city, so we're looking at a club in Yorkshire at the moment that we're in discussions with. We're looking to do it in and around their ground in association with them, because ultimately it's in
Doncaster Rovers, yeah?
Yeah. So it's in every club's it should be in every club's interest to have a really good fan experience. And we found that clubs are receptive to that. It's just trying to get things over the line that clubs are quite tough to sort of get things done quickly.
It's weird. They're so corporate, aren't they, clubs?
Way too corporate. But that's not what fans are. Fans don't really care about. We don't actually know that much either. We basically get told things and we'll jump on that bandwagon, but we don't really know the ins and outs. And all we care about as fans, what we should do is, this Wednesday, people have paid 45 quid for a ticket, which is insane. And you're going to the game, you'll get to the game at 7:30. The game will finish at 9:30, 10:30. And that's it. Well, we feel like you can actually start the game earlier. So we're opening at 4 p.m. on Wednesday. And although I don't think we're going to get many people at 4 p.m., I feel like the whole event should be stretched as far as possible. And we're trying to do that with offering really great food at low prices, offering drinks at really low prices, having the entertainment.
And a great build-up atmosphere.
And a build-up atmosphere. So it feels like you're going to an event rather than just a 45 quid game, which can be quite inflating. If we lose 1-0 and it's a boring game and we play defensively, then you're going to go away thinking, oh, just spent 45 quid on that. Whereas if you've had a whole day out of it and you've had fun with your mates and your family and stuff like that, I think that's only going to help the fan experience and will help encourage Forest as well.
So cool, mate. I can't wait to come and visit on Wednesday. Just because time's clicking, I don't want you to not have a goodbye stuff. But is it free to go? Is there an entry fee?
Yeah, this season, we're sort of going to gauge it long-term, but currently it's free of charge. People just go to fanpark.co.uk or on our Instagram at fanparkuk, and they can go grab a free ticket.
Amazing.
You can reserve a table as well. So, sorry to interrupt. One of the things we realised, we've looked at the other fan zones, and there's a couple of things that we went to one of the fan zones, and it was wicked, but you weren't able to get a table unless you got there, the game starts at 3, and unless you get there at 10:30, you're not getting a table. So we've introduced a reserve your table system. We do have other tables available on a first serve basis, but we have a reserve table system as well.
That's deadly, because if someone's traveling from a long way, let's say someone supports Forest but they're down in Shrewsbury or wherever they're, or Ireland, let's say they're coming from Ireland, and I want to have an experience and I want to have a whole day of it, which is what I do when I go over there. I create a whole thing and I want to have experience. Be brilliant.
You'll be adding luxury loos before we know it.
Yeah.
We've got them, actually. We've got lovely loos.
Oh, you've got them. You've got luxury loos. Like little Forest toothbrush and flannel to wash your face with. Do you guys make it? Well, it sounds so summery. Do you I can tell from the way you talk about everything else, presumably you bear the weather and stuff in mind for I guess where we're at now in this season. And then once it gets to October and through the winter months.
So we'll talk about the summer, I guess. We're going to host all the European Championship games, the Euro 2024 games on
great.
The street. So we've got a month worth of games going on from June the 14th to July the 14th. And then from next summer, we've just bought brought in new sort of like roofing all the way through and heaters all the way through. So although we're going to be outside, it's going to feel pretty warm. We don't want to just be one of those people that are just like, you know, everything has to be from Nottingham, because not everything is good in Nottingham. Yeah. And there might be some food vendors that are really amazing from Birmingham or something. And like, I'd rather have like the best world cuisine in Nottingham rather than it just being just because you live here or you're from here or you're born here that we're producing your food, when it may be great, and in which case we'll have you on board. But if it's rubbish, then we'd rather have the place from Birmingham, as an example.
Yeah.
But
it's so forward thinking. It's a really good idea. And as you said, it does sound like the sort of thing that it gives somewhere to go for those people that don't go to every home match, that don't go to many games, or that go, yeah. Do you know what I mean? If they're coming up from London, or if they're coming from abroad, or as you say, other parts of the UK, it's great to have somewhere so iconic. There's also a couple of other places that are pretty iconic, but they're so rammed with their regulars sometimes. It's great to have what you're creating, I think, that introduces people that maybe they're on their own or have come as a one-off and don't have their bunch of mates to go. That's great.
Yeah, we wanted a space where people can feel like you don't just have to be the biggest Forest fan to come. Although like it is heavily based on Forest, we wanted a space where people, you know, like families that live in West Bridgeford or something, it's just a stone throw away from there. So it's like, you know, 5-10 minutes down the road. So they can come down and enjoy some street food and some drinks.
It really suits those people that aren't going to the game as much as it does those who are going to the game, right?
Massively, yeah. Like, so on Wednesday, you know, we would have sold, what, 25,000-26,000 home tickets. I'm guessing the allocation was about 3,000-4,000 for United. And in which case, there's a hell of a lot of fans that aren't going to the game. So by having a space where you still get that match feel of being close to the City Ground, you're with a load of Forest fans, but in a different,
yeah,
you know, probably more comfortable, to be honest, in terms of the heat and stuff. But the atmosphere will still be good, and the screen is massive, so it feels like you were part of it. And we've got presenters all the way, and there's lots of engagement all the way through the day.
The thing that gets me, I suppose, is I'm not trying to link it back to the podcast. Matt will probably think I am, but it's the fact that when I was living in Canada, a lot of people who were from Nottingham or from the UK who were Forest fans would always go back once every few months to try and watch a game. And they, some of them would have their ritual of what pubs and stuff they would go to. But now, like you said, you know, fans coming from the Forest fan groups in Australia, or coming from Serbia or China or Toronto or wherever it may be, they have a whole big day out that they can plan, and yeah, they can book a table with you guys or go through, check out all the street food. They could bring their partners or whatever, who aren't necessarily into football. My wife's Canadian. I've brought her over a few times. This would be a cool thing for her to go to with me before and after a game. So it's really cool, because like Matt said, it's almost more special for people who don't go to games that often, like people like myself who go once every few months, you know.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, it's a big part of what we want to do. We want it to be, like, I keep using the word inclusive, and I don't mean that in terms of gender or race or anything. I just mean with everything, like literally everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's so many Forest fans that don't get to go to games now. You know, I'm in the generation of people like queuing up if you want a ticket. And now you go online and you've got potluck, and the amount of fans that managed to get season tickets just before the start of the Premiership season, and you know, they've never had a season ticket before, and now all those people that have had season tickets previously can't go to the games and stuff. And we wanted something for those guys as well that is genuine. Now, the other fan zones around Notts are really good. Like, not bad mouthing any of them, but a lot of them are fairly traditional fan zones. You know, they'll have a single one before the game, they'll have Forest fans there, but that's as much as it is. You're going to get your pint of Carling, you're going to sort of like watch a singer on stage or whatever, and you've got the big screen.
Yeah.
And I can't justify that enough. Like, it is really good fun. Like, I've loved them, but like, we just think we can raise it a little bit more, and it's going to take a bit of time, you know. Like,
as you say, it's got so many prospects. You can, like you said, take it on tour and partner with other clubs. But
yeah.
I can imagine you going on Forest away days and finding so you're not just partnering with the clubs, but partnering with venues in other cities or other parts of the country when Forest go on the game.
It's funny, we were speaking to somebody in Highbury doing exactly that before the Arsenal games. So we got approached by a group over there that wants to do something quite similar. So
near the Emirates, that's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the last stop before the Emirates, so it's where the away fans get off.
Between the shows, the food, the atmosphere, and everything, it does sound amazing. And let's talk a bit about the game on Wednesday. Obviously, you're going to have a big atmosphere going down there at the fan park. You'll probably have your bag tactics show. Maybe Matt will jump on stage if he shows up on time.
I've been sending Kevin a message saying we've got Matt on the show.
Oh, my God. You're in, Matt. It's too late.
I'd love to get, hang on. Before I commit, I'm working on Wednesday and I'm bombing it up in my car.
Matt, I don't want to hear any excuses.
No excuses.
Oh, my God.
Give the people what they want. All right. Yeah. You're in there. And if you're not there, there'll be an empty seat and everyone will know.
Yeah,
it's
exactly
you.
That. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Satch, the game on Wednesday, you must be excited. Obviously, boy, the football as well. We're playing Man United, fifth round, FA Cup. What's your score prediction, or how do you think the game's going to go?
I think we'll win. I think we'll win 3-1.
Oh,
I think we'll be relatively comfortable.
What? Make my dreams come true.
Yeah, well, they're without Luke Shaw and Hoyland up front, right? So, and they look pretty disjointed to me. Even when they were winning games, they didn't look particularly great. I just feel like our defence is quite easy to get past, and not just against Villa, but I just feel that we're not particularly strong at the back.
No.
But thankfully,
but do you reckon that is our defenders? Or I haven't got around to asking Chris this yet, because we all love our Murillo so much, and we've got sort of decent defenders as individuals. But when people say our defense is rubbish, and this is genuinely an open question because I don't know the answer, is it actually that our 11 players are crap at defending rather than we've got crap defenders?
I thought against Villa, I thought our midfield was quite weak. So I thought that the Villa were able to get past the midfield. And then we made some Murillo and Felipe, I didn't think, had their best games at the back. I think a lot of it has got to do with the midfield as well. I felt like it was really easy to get past our midfield on Saturday. Was it Saturday?
It was Saturday, yeah.
Against Villa, yeah. I thought we were really easy to get past. I just think that with our forward lineup, with Alanga and Hudson-Odoi, we need to utilise those guys a bit more. So they need to get back into the game a bit more. And then Taiwo is just a goal scorer. So
even on his bad day, he's getting an assist across the box and getting taken off at half time, you know, that from a set piece. Can you believe we scored from a set piece? But anyway, Man United's Wednesday, your score predictions, you're going to win 3-1. We always do this with everyone. Matt, you go first. Come on.
I'll go first. But Chris, you've been confident the Forest are going to win for a couple of weeks now. Definitely.
Have I?
definitely privately. I mean, you've even said on the podcast.
I said we're going to beat Liverpool on Saturday.
You know what? I'm anxious about. I'm one of these people that thinks I sort of see football and feel football on this sort of. I just feel like if we beat Man United, we lose to Liverpool. I don't think we can do that well in both games. So I kind of want to be. I want our league form to kick on. I do think we can beat Man United. I don't know. I also think because Rashford's been so crap, he's going to turn up against us.
Well, he's scored so many.
Getting an early goal. But I like to think that if we do concede, I think we can win 2-1 like we did in the league.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd love us to have a cup run. I think cup runs are so good, and I think it can help our league form as well.
Yeah,
it'll help Fan Park UK as well, because you get plenty of those home cup games, quarterfinals, semi-finals, well, semi-finals in the Wembley anyway, but no, it'll be good. By the way, just real quick, I think we're going to win 2-1 as well, because once the floodgates opened on that win against Man U in December after losing like five times in a year, I think we can do it again. We just need to not make any silly mistakes. Man United make mistakes and Forest make mistakes. It could be a ding-dong. It could be 3-2. Hopefully the right side of 3-2 this time. But I think we'll win 2-1. And I think we'll beat Liverpool on Saturday as well. We'll do a preview for that. But I think we'll beat Liverpool.
Sasha's won me around, actually.
Yeah, I think we'll beat Liverpool. I think Liverpool have injuries in their team. They have the young players who came in and did brilliantly in the League Cup, but they are struggling. It's a matter of time.
Are you into this love-in with Klopp and Liverpool from yesterday?
What's that, sorry?
Give us your thoughts very quickly. Do you think Liverpool did amazing yesterday to win with their quote-unquote kids? Or actually, do you think it's a load of media hype and they started with £300 million worth of talent and it's no shock whatsoever?
Well, hang on, that's a loaded question. I actually think they did really well because they had kids who were, you know, newcomers. One of them only had a debut on
Wednesday.
We
debated this.
we debated this when we came on. You'll hear it at the top of the show if you listen.
Go on,
back.
Tell us what do you think.
Tell us what do you think, Satch? I'm on one side; he's on the other.
No, Chris, shut up.
You shut up.
I think I reckon anytime you change your side, you've got to embed those players in. So if you're beating anyone in a cup final and you've changed your team, like how many changes did they make? 3-4 changes from the previous game.
Yeah, and not to mention the 8 or 9 players that they have out from their starting team.
Yeah, so you've
best players, changed... Trent, Salah, Alisson, etc.
Yeah, like you'd have every one of those in your team, right? Like,
yeah.
And they'd get into any team in the league. So you're going to miss them. So I think they did well. Like they won 1-0, and I think you've got to be happy with that.
Thank you. Satch has on my side.
I think he just about edges onto Chris's side. Just about, but for very different reasons.
Yeah.
For very different reasons.
Like, I think a couple one gets the whole city excited. Like, we were doing a section called Fan Park Talks around town today, like recording fans. And the excitement is all about the cup run. Nobody spoke about Liverpool.
I'm with you on that as well. I made a red hot take on this podcast a few weeks ago, and I said if we get through Bristol and Blackpool, we could go and win the FA Cup. And the thing is, we can. It's not impossible. Wigan did it before. Leicester did it in 2021. Now they're relegated. It's not impossible that we can win the FA Cup again. And that's it. That's all. And I think we're going to beat Man United. Huh?
That's where the podcast just needs to end. We're going to win the FA Cup.
We're going to win the FA Cup, everyone. And we'll leave it at that. Satch, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for talking about Man United. Thanks for talking about Fan Park UK. Everyone, please follow it. Check it out on social media channels, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. We'll be promoting this podcast and posting it out and putting links in everywhere as well. But do you want to give a quick last plug to the Fan Park UK that everyone probably knows about more than our podcast?
Yeah. So, if everyone could give us a follow on Instagram at Fan Park UK. We've just launched on TikTok at fanpark_UK. I was gutted that somebody's got the Fanpark UK. and then website is www.fanpark.co.uk.
Thanks for dealing with both of us.
Wicked. Nice one. Thanks for having me, guys.
Lovely to meet you, mate. Yeah. It's really awesome what you're doing. It sounds exciting. And I'll.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Yeah, take care. Follow us at Forest All Over on Instagram or at NFFC All Over on Twitter. Alternatively, go to forestallover.com. We're going to win the FA Cup. Get down to Fan Park UK on Wednesday. Matt's empty chair will be there until he arrives. Thanks a million. Let's beat United. Yeah,
our website that no one will ever go to and we never update.
Shut up. The guest is still here.
Podcast Network.